Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. I have a fun interview for you. Before we get to today's show, I want to share a bit about today's sponsor. It's The Rebellious Rancher by Kate Pierce. Here's the synopsis of the book. Attachment to the land, hard work, and community sets the folks in Morgantown apart from every day and always brings them back to the ranch where they might even find love. After his father decides to leave the ranch to his older brother, usually calm, steadfast Ben Miller struggles to deal with the resentment. When he's invited to develop a trail raiding experience on the Morgan Stewart Ranch, Ben jumps to the chance. Soon he's assigned to mysterious clients, an actress whose family secrets once her removed from the influences from LA. Ben's determined to teach her to fend for herself, but he quickly discovers she's more than a pampered pretty face. Silver Meadows believes that she's preparing for a serious dramatic role, one that will free her from her controlling parents. She's certainly not going to be controlled by Ben, especially when he takes her out in the middle of nowhere to learn how to survive. Yet gradually, far from his cell phone, Silver begins to open up to him about her life and finds that they have more in common than they thought. Soon romance blossoms, but can jet-setting movie star and homebody cowboy find the best way to both worlds? This book sounds so good. If you like cowboy romance, but at the same time you like some celebrity, some LA influence, I think, and fish out of water into survival skills, I think this book is all for you. You can purchase The Rebellious Rancher in your favorite bookseller. For more book recommendations, please visit KensingtonBooks.com. Now let's get to the interview. So today I have one of my most anticipated interviews that I have done so far. I am chatting with Helena Hunting. I have shared in the past that I started reading romance in 2016. And one of the books that I series that I picked out was Puck. And it was everything. It had hockey, steam, raunchy humor. It was just so much fun. And so I ended up binge reading most of her backlist. I love her Shocking Up series, which is so much fun. It's just like, I think that one is like New York City, rich people having problems and falling in love. So that was just a lot of fun. So this week, Helena has a new release with her romance called Kiss My Cupcake. And it's about dueling business rivals who are falling in love. And be prepared for the cupcake creations because they sound so amazing. Like, I asked Helena, like, where did she come up with them? And I want to eat them all. So it's so good. So the interview, we're going to talk about her writing process, her book, her latest book, and a round of book recommendations. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Helena. Welcome to the Watch Read Next podcast.
Hi, how are you?
So happy to have you here. So excited. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I live in Ontario, Canada, just kind of outside of Toronto with my husband and our daughter. She's a little bit more important than the two awesome cats that we have. And I love all things romance and I've written over 20 novels. So that's a little bit about me.
I love it. So what inspired you to become a writer?
So I've been writing stories as soon as I was able to put words on a paper, but I never actually looked at it as a career path until after my daughter was born in 2008. So I started writing sort of for myself and then started posting online. And I met some really amazing people in that online community where we were all kind of writing and posting, and many of them have gone on to publish as well. And through those friends that I've made, I was inspired to publish on my own. And now here I am writing full time.
I love it. And so what was your journey to get that first book published?
There was a lot of editing and there was a lot of rewriting and there was a lot of scrapping. And the first book I ever published was Clipped Wings and Inked Armor, and it's a duet. And it was a duet before duets became popular. So the first draft of that was over 400,000 words, which is really, really long and a lot of work to edit down into something reasonable. So it was shopped at the beginning as a trilogy, and it was too long. So eventually I started ripping it apart and writing it over again, or editing it down. The first book was more of an edit, and then by the time I got to the second book, I just stopped looking at the old manuscript because it was just more time and energy than it was worth, and then just kind of rewrote the second half of the book. And that the published versions of those are about 100,000 words each. And it was picked up by Gallery Books, published in 2014. But yeah, that was a very good lesson to learn for me in terms of writing first drafts and editing. And nothing took nearly as long as that one did to get into shape.
That's amazing. I think it's a process. I think when you start, it's like daunting, and then as you do it more often, you find systems, you find ways to do it that will get easier.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that first trip down editing road is always the scariest, because it wasn't something that I'd done before, not, outside of essays in university. It was not a process I'd really gone through, and not to that extent, and not with cuts, like such heavy, heavy cuts.
So you published from multiple houses, and we just talked about this briefly. What's the process like to get your books published in two different houses? Like, because they're very unique, each one of them, in their universe world. So
it takes a lot of organization and a lot of structure with working with three different houses and then self-publishing. So usually we kind of have an idea of what publisher wants what from me, right? So for Forever Romance, I do romantic comedies. They tend to be a little lighter, but with some depth, right? There's like Meet Cute is a good example of that beautiful, bright, sunny cover. But inside the story, there's loss and all of those other important things that are kind of balanced out with humor. And then for St. Martin's Press, they've published the Shacking Up series with me, and that's rom-com. It's super fun. It's all, heroes with last names for first names. And they've been a lot of fun. And I've actually started a new series with them. And it's a bit, I can't write without comedy, but it's a bit more contemporary romance, and I'm super excited for those. And then Mod Lake I did a sports romance series, a spinoff of the Puck series. And that was a lot of fun. And it was just sort of a little bit closer to like my self-published Puck series, I guess, crazy comedy, but then maybe a bit more contemporary as well. And I think writing kind of shifts and changes over time, and the stories that I tell and the subjects that I want to tackle change along with it, especially, world circumstances change, and there's all sorts of other pieces that kind of come into play.
Well, I'm excited for the St. Martin's Press series. I love the Mom Lake series, and I love your forward titles, so
I love writing them all.
This is awesome. Yeah. So let's talk about your writing. Do you follow an outline, or do you see where the short leads you?
Well, after Clipped Wings and Inked Armor and the 440,000 word manuscript that got cut in half, I decided it was probably in my best interest and in the interest of my sanity if I used outlines. And I decided that it was going to be fairly extensive outlines. So I usually have my outlines are anywhere between 5,000 and 10,000 words. And I know a lot of people don't do things like that or just have really short outlines, but I outline everything chapter by chapter. I structure it knowing like when my, where my inciting incidents are and what my conflicts are, just so it's a very streamlined process. And because my deadlines are very there's not a lot of wiggle room. I need to be able to follow a fairly solid, clear outline so I know where I'm going. And then my characters don't run away on me and do things that they're not supposed to in the context of the story.
I love it. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of ideas, inspirations, characters, especially writing a series?
Oh yeah, writing series can be fairly complicated, especially something like the Puck series, and then there's the All In series spinoff. So that's like 10 full length novels in there. So I have family trees. I have a whiteboard that takes up the majority of one wall of my office, and I'll write things down and I'll put family trees down. And having the working outlines really helps. I'm writing a new book, and I started writing down all the names of every character that I introduce and how they're related to each of the main characters, just so I can keep track of all of those pieces. But yeah, it's a lot of, there's Pinterest boards, there's always my outlines, and there's, you know, all the research that you do along the way just to kind of put all those characters together. And I do a lot of Google mapping of places and distances and how far is this from this. And sometimes we go and visit the places, but not right now.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Not right now.
Not right now, but maybe in the future.
Yeah, maybe in like another year, maybe two. We'll see. Yeah. Or we can just go within Ontario, Canada. That's fine. We're allowed to travel within the province. And the province of Ontario, I don't think a lot of people know this. It's actually, to get from one end to the other by car, it's over 20 hours. It takes longer to get from one end of Ontario to the other than it does for us to drive from here to Florida.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's crazy, right? Canada's massive.
That's massive.
I know, it is. It's wild. But you don't want to go up there in the winter. It's cold.
So speaking of which, would you set a book in Ontario or Toronto or in Canada, or would you stick around to the U.S.?
I usually stick to the U.S. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem writing in Canada, but I do find that with a majority of my audience based out of the States, sometimes it's a bit easier to relate geographically to that. And I mean, I'm so fortunate now that we've been able to travel and see a lot of different areas in the U.S. And you know, we did a trip out to Colorado a couple of years ago, and those places sort of stick with you, and you want to kind of write about them because they're so they're interesting. They're different, right? Different from what I know.
Yeah, they're different. I think it's funny. Yeah. Like, I just moved to Chicago, so a lot of the Puck series were set in Chicago. Like, it was just kind of funny. It was like, it's like one of those books that was like transported, because I moved sight unseen. So I moved, like, I only visited Chicago briefly on conference. So I only saw it for one day. And then I was like, well, let me just start. And I was like, you know, Puck series, all these other books are set in Chicago. So it seems like it could be like a fun city to move. So,
yeah. And so you moved there.
I moved there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chicago and Toronto are actually, like, geographically, and the kind of the way the cities are set up and designed are quite similar. So it's not a huge stretch to write as a Canadian to write Chicago, because Chicago is in a lot of ways similar to Toronto.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do you share a work along the way, or do you wait to complete a project?
Usually I hold on to the story until I've completed it and it is and I've read it through. But there have been a few times where I've wanted a little feedback at the beginning just to make sure that I'm on track, but most of the time it doesn't get passed over to, or no one's eyes see it until it's a complete draft.
So now let's talk about Kiss My Cupcake. What was the source of inspiration?
Well I've always had a serious love of cupcakes. The first, my first books that I ever wrote, Clipped Wings and Inked Armor, the heroine like to bake cupcakes, and I'm a fan of them, and a fan of baking in general. So writing a heroine who runs her own cupcake and cocktail shop was just like super fun. My dad grew up working with his dad in a sign painting shop. It was like a family run business. So I already had an idea of what it was like to run a family business and what that looks like and what it entails. So the idea of putting together these two very different bars, one, you know, that has really deep family roots, and another with a heroine trying to make her own mark, and then pitting the two against each other, was just, it was such a fun book to write. And it was a neat concept to explore.
It was awesome. So let's talk about cupcakes, because you just mentioned.
Yes.
So are you a baker, and how did you come up with the various flavor combinations? Because you were awesome. I wanted to go to the cupcake shop.
Well, the maple bourbon bacon business, I just really, all of those things sound delicious, and I thought in a cupcake that would be amazing. Especially with the, I don't know, have you ever had, gonna go off on a tangent here. Have you ever had like candied bacon before?
Yes.
Were they? Yes. Oh my gosh, it's the best thing I've ever had. So putting that with a cupcake just seemed like a good idea. So my daughter is a really big fan of I think it's, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get the name wrong. I think it's Cake Wars, mm-hmm. where they have the people and they all go against each other, and there's like three different heat, like they have three different heats. It's like the Survivor of cake, and they make cupcakes and they make all sorts of desserts, and then they make this giant cake at the end, and it's so cool. So we watched a lot of that, and so they had some amazing cupcake flavors, and my personal favorite is actually just vanilla cupcakes with vanilla icing, which is boring, but also very tried and true and usually rather delicious.
Yeah, I'm loving the vanilla, and I used to, when I lived in New York, there's so many cupcake shops. It was the time where Magnolia was like a big deal. And
yes.
All the other cupcake shops came out that, and so it was like, it was funny enough, like vanilla, they can mess it up too. Like you
yes.
could go and try it, and like try and try, but you never know, like they may try something different, or the cake might be too dry, or the icing might be too sweet, or, you know.
Yeah.
It can be a hit or miss, yeah, but it's
so it can. Yeah, it's all in the buttercream, I think.
Yeah.
I think that really, and the moistness of the cake. And this is really the only time you can say the word moist and it's acceptable.
Yes. So this book is set as Rivals to Robbers. Why set up this relationship as sort of competing bars? I'm trying to get the YouTube competition aspect of, you know, in order for them to succeed.
So one of my favorite things that I like to write is banter. So setting them up as rivals made that really easy, because you could have these characters goad each other, and then it escalates to just absolutely ridiculous proportions, and they start playing pranks on one another. And there's always that really thin line between love and hate, right? Mm-hmm. So you can play up on that. And that YouTube competition, that was so much fun to add in there. It was just another dynamic to their relationship, and it gave them a reason to try and one-up each other all the time, and push each other's buttons.
Yeah, and I love the fact that once they realize they're like, they can work better together, the whole idea of joint events, the whole idea of like planning things around, like it helped kind of like build a relationship. Like just, they were like, they wanted to support each other, even though they were rivals.
Exactly. And I think I really love a slightly, maybe like an organic move towards a romantic relationship where there is that push and pull, and then you see them working together and really getting along, and maybe deciding that there's more to this than just the business side of things, right?
Yeah, I think it just, I love the fact that she felt bad about Thanksgiving, so she brings him home to see her crazy family, and she forgets.
Yeah, she does.
Oh my gosh, her crazy family. You know? and the crazy family. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to take like the most ridiculous things and just go with it. I really just felt like Blair is such a kind of put together but very high strung. She's so high strung character. Her family is just way out there. They're so off the wall. And they're just, it's fun to write that very odd, crazy dynamic, because Ronan is the exact opposite. He's pretty chill and he's got lots of support, and his family is, you know, very, very traditional, and Blair's is very not. They were just so much fun to write because it threw in a level of, I don't know, ridiculousness and humor that was just really fun to play with.
Yeah, I love it. I think when I thought Blair's family, I was like, oh my God. Like,
yes.
Your aunt, your uncle, your this, your that.
What is happening here?
What's happening here? And then they're like, and now all these restaurants and all this different crazy stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. And her passion being so different than theirs, right? And the not wanting to bend and fold under the pressure that can sometimes come from working with family, right? And so I think it's just very different take, because Ronan was all about trying to do what he could for his grandfather, and in this case Blair's trying to do what she can separate from her family, just to be herself and an individual and stand on her own two feet.
Yeah, I really love it. I love like the whole book itself. Like it was just it was one of those rom-coms that had some depth, but at the same time, it felt like a great introduction to your work. Like that's what it feels like.
Because I don't think I can ever let go of like the kind of off the wall stuff like Blair's family.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a gentle introduction. It's not like, you know, Pup series, because that's not gentle.
No. But you gotta read. You gotta listen or read Pup series. Like it is off the wall. So gay.
But Blair and Ronan are like this. They're that kind of couple that are, they're just kismet, right? Like they're meant for each other. They balance each other out.
Yeah. So speaking of which, what are some of your upcoming projects?
So I have a bunch. This fall after Kiss My Cupcake, we get this nice fun rom-com summer read. I have a new adult angsty standalone coming, and I'm very excited about that. And it's a self-pub.
Is that Lavender's book?
Yeah, it's Lavender's book. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I wrote this book just for me. And this was actually one of the books where I didn't have a full outline until I was like 40,000 words into it. It just kept speaking to me. So I'd write down scenes in between other projects. And then I realized that I had 40,000 words and needed an outline. And then I also turned in a book, the first book for the new series for SMP. And it's a contemporary romance. And it made my agent cry in multiple parts of the books. And she is... This has never happened. I mean, she's read pretty much everything I've written, and she has never cried before. So this is a serious win in my book. Which is, I guess, weird to say. Like, if I make somebody cry, that makes me feel good. I think it's like the only profession where you can say I made somebody cry and feel good about that. Yeah. And then I'm working on a brand new contemporary romance, and I love it, and I'm super excited about it because it's based on like my family have a cabin. My parents have a cabin, up north, farther north than Canada, in within Canada, I mean. And so it's kind of like based on the lake that I grew up going to as a kid.
I love it. And this is just like personal, because you're just a personal question. Are we getting any more hockey books?
So there is some hockey, a little bit, in A Lavender Story, not a ton, but I will say that I have plans for her older brother, Maverick, and he plays hockey. So there will be hockey. I don't think I can let it go.
Okay. I love it. Hockey is how it was my gateway drug. That's how I ended up reading romance. It was through hockey. So anytime there's like hockey romance, it's like, it's my cat then. So I discovered you thanks to Puck, and then I just haven't stopped reading you. So I'm like, you write great hockey. So I'm like, please.
Yes. Yeah. I will. I'm not going to walk away from hockey. Even if it's, you know, just little snippets here and there.
So, all right. Now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what is your read next. What is your favorite genre?
So I would say that my favorite genre to read, and I don't know if this will come as a surprise or not, but I mean, I love paranormal romance. I do love contemporary romance too, and sometimes I really like historical, but paranormal is my absolute go-to.
I love it. And who's your favorite author?
So that's a hard question. And I don't think I can name a favorite, because so many of the authors that I love are my friends, and they are my favorites. And you know, I've got a massive list, but if I'm going to name people who are, some people in the paranormal genre would be J.R. Ward and Karen Marie Monning. And then there's a Canadian author named Alyssa Marr. I love her stuff. And then there's another Canadian author, and I don't think I'll ever get over her books, and I read them in university. And her name is Anne Marie McDonald, and she wrote a book called Fall on Your Knees, and it's fantastic.
Right.
It's also 20 years old.
That's awesome. Yeah. What has been a book you read this past year that you loved?
So I'm going to be honest, I have had an incredible number of deadlines. So reading I haven't been able to do a lot of that, but I am so excited to read Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer, in August. And I will drop everything to read that book, but don't tell my agent I said that. Because I'm so stoked, and that's, she's one of my favorite women.
I love it.
I can't wait. Like, bring on the YA. See, I mean, I know we all know what happens in the end with that book, but I have been waiting for it for probably 15 years now. So I'm so stoked.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Tell us where you can find me online.
So www.helenahunting.com is my website, and you can find me on Facebook at Helena Hunting, and you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Helena Hunting. That's
thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.